Welcome again to our studies on the book of Joshua. Joshua, the new leader. Joshua, the book that has so many truths for leadership that we do well to meditate in it. And we are now arriving at a very important episode in the life of Joshua and the children of Israel. And we could entitle it The Taking of Jericho. Now, previously we have seen how Joshua was encouraged to be strong and of a good courage, to meditate in the word of God, that he would do all that the law of Moses required. And then we came to the crossing of Jordan, the key to the crucified life, and Gilgal, the key to being circumcised. Well, now, the actual purpose of crossing Jordan is going to start. It entails the taking of the land of Palestine, or Israel as we call it today. And we come first of all to the great city of Jericho. Now there are many lessons here for us, and we do well to ponder them, because in a certain sense we will all have our Jerichos that God wants us to take and inherit. Well, first thing that came to pass was this, that Joshua sent spies into the land, and those spies gave him the information, just two spies, gave him the information that Jericho was trembling, because Jericho knew all the things that God had done for the children of Israel, and they were afraid. And that is one thing that I want to emphasize. You know, when God gives us a direction to go forth and to bring the gospel to a certain place, you know, one thing that we have to understand is this. There are going to be those that oppose us. And essentially, they are those that are animated by fallen angels or demons and the like, evil spirits. And we are fighting against them. And essentially, if I could say this, we have to realize something else. The book of James declares it, demons believe and they tremble. You see, when we come with the gospel, they're going to have to go back and forfeit the territory that they have perhaps ruled over. And the one thing that we have to understand is they know that Christ is with us. They know that Christ has gotten the victory over them. And they know that as long as we are obedient to the Lord, we shall defeat them, we shall inherit their land, and they will be dispossessed. And this is the truth, you see, concerning Jericho. The people from the king onward, downwards, all were afraid because they realized that God was with the children of Israel. So number one, the enemy knows, the enemy is afraid, and the only thing that he hopes is that you do not walk in obedience and faith. Because if you don't, you're not going to dispossess him. But if you do, you're going to dispossess the enemy, and you're going to inherit his land. All right. Now then, what happened? Joshua comes towards Jericho, and he meets a man with a sword. And immediately he challenges that man and says, "Art thou for us or against us?" Now, this is another lesson that we have to learn. You see, people accept so often spiritual experiences, not realizing that Satan can change himself into an angel of light. And we have to challenge spirits. If only the dear Mormons had challenged Moroni, we would never have had the error of the Mormon Church. If only people would challenge spiritual manifestations, how much error could have been avoided? Well, we have to be careful. Well, so here Joshua is challenging the manifestation. And there will be a clear-cut answer, yea or nay. And this person replied, no. As captain of the Lord of hosts am I come. Take off your shoes. For the ground whereon thou standest is holy. In other words, he was meeting the Lord himself, who was coming as captain of the Lord of hosts to fight for Joshua. And that's another thing that we have to understand, that we must absolutely be walking with the Lord. We cannot fight a battle alone without the Lord. We will be defeated because those spirits are far more powerful than we are. But with the Lord, they have to give way. And so we have to remember David in his battles. He always asked the Lord what the battle plan was. And so now Joshua is going to receive the battle plan. And the Lord said to him, you know, get the children of Israel, the men, have them walk around the city once each day. And then on the final day, for 6 days, and then the final day, the seventh day, have them walk around 7 times, making 13 in all, and then shout, shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. The walls will come tumbling down. So the battle plan has been revealed. And the battle plan has to be assiduously fulfilled. And when the Lord tells us to do something, you know, to go into an area, we have to ask the Lord, well, what is the key? What is the key? You know, I've been in certain areas and people have told me, well, we came into this area and the Lord gave us a battle plan. The battle plan was simply to worship him. Worship him. And as we worshiped him, well, eventually the enemy forces receded and the people came in and we have got a wonderful church today. Now, that's what God spoke to some people, you see. But we have to ask the Lord. You know, we have a property and we felt the Lord tell us to walk around it. And we did, like the Jericho March, and we got that property. Now, I want to make it very clear that the battle plan in each case is different. And so you don't go on the battle plan of yesterday to meet today's enemy. So we have to ask God, well, what is the battle plan? We have a fresh battle today. What is your battle plan? And we have to get it from God. And if we do that, we're going to succeed. Well, they did that, and the walls came tumbling down. There was an exception. One portion of the wall did not come down. Why? Well, you see, when these two spies went in, they were sheltered by Rahab the prostitute or the harlot, and because she sheltered these two spies and protected them from the soldiers who were seeking them in Jericho, she said to them, look, I've shown you kindness, you show me kindness, and protect my father, mother, and all my family. And they said, look, when we come and you let a scarlet thread come down from your window, then you will be protected. And the result was that walls came tumbling down, but Rahab's house, which was on the wall, remained, and they took Rahab and everybody in the house and protected them. All the others were slain. But the Lord also had given another command concerning Jericho. He said, you know, all the cattle, all the sheep have to be slain. But he said also, not a piece of gold or a piece of silver, any idol, any ornament, must be taken from Jericho by the children of Israel. Well, that was clearly known. The walls came tumbling down, and they rejoiced greatly Jericho was defeated. And of course, you know, when you're starting a war and you win the first battle, that fills the others with fear. And that certainly was the case. All the other kings in the land of Canaan were very much afraid. And it's always good, you know, to have a victory right away. Well, they had that victory. Then, you see, they espied another city. The next city was a little city called Ai. Nothing like Jericho. Jericho seemingly was impregnable, but God brought the walls down. But Ai seemed such a small place. And the elders said, and the captains of the hosts said to Joshua, "Oh, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. It's only a small city. Don't let's trouble the whole army of Israel. Just send, you know, a few in, a few thousand in, and we will easily take the city." Now, here they did not ask counsel of the Lord. And so they went against Ai, small number of troops against Ai. And from a military point of view, it was probably all right. They had enough troops. But to their amazement, Ai came out, fought them, and 36 men of Israel were slain. Well, Israel was astonished. Here they had been promised victory after victory. They got the first victory, Jericho, this great city, and now they were defeated by a little city. Well, 36, 3 times 12. 3 is the number of the Godhead. 12 is the government. In other words, God was showing, look, I'm governing the situation here, and I caused Ai to defeat you. Well, Joshua and the elders lay all day until evening upon the floor before the Lord, and they cried out to God, "What has happened? How has this little city defeated us? What has gone wrong?" And God gave the answer. And he said, "The accursed thing is in your midst. I gave you a commandment not to touch any of the gold and silver of Jericho. But you have disobeyed me." Well, Joshua was ignorant of that. And so, by lot, he determined the family that was at fault, family of Achan. He said, "Son, come here. What have you done?" And Achan confessed. He said, "Well," he said, "well, I saw the gold bars in Jericho, and I took them, some of them, and buried them in the floor of my tent." And Joshua said, "Because of your sin, we have fallen before Ai." And this is something that we have to understand. You see, as we've been looking at the progress of Joshua and the children of Israel, we've seen, well, Joshua was prepared. They crossed over Jordan, Gilgal, and they've become a holy people. At Gilgal, God said, "I've rolled the reproach of Egypt from you." In other words, at that moment, you know, the Israelites had no desire whatsoever to return to Egypt. In the wilderness, every time they had a problem, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And Gilgal, you know, the desire for this world was taken from them. And here they were, a holy people. And God could dwell in their midst. And God could give them the victory. But now this holiness has been destroyed by the sin of one family. And you know, I've known of situations in churches where the church has not been able to move forward because of the sin. of certain members. You know, I'm thinking of a story that was told me when I was in the Carolinas many years ago. And it was a lady was telling me this story. And she said this. She said, you know, a group of us were praying for revival. The church was going nowhere. We couldn't get a breakthrough. And so with the pastor's consent, and he was joining us, you know, we were praying for a breakthrough. And then she said, one of the members of the congregation became sick. And it was a member who'd been there for many years in the church, almost a founding member. She became sick. And we all started to pray for her. And then the Lord spoke to us, why are you praying for that person? That person is the reason why I cannot move in the church. In other words, this person seemed very godly, but was living another life away from church. And because of that, God could not move. Well, they then pleaded with God for her soul. I'm not sure the outcome of the story. I hope that lady got right with the Lord before the Lord took her. But you see, afterwards, revival broke forth in that church. There was a problem, you see. There was a problem. And this is what we've got to be very careful of. You know, another more poignant thing was this. You know, a pastor friend of mine, in fact, my senior pastor, went to another church. This was in France. And, you know, the Spirit of God was moving and people were being healed, saved and so forth, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then suddenly, it was as though a clammy cloud came over the church. No more salvation, there wasn't the move of the Spirit, there wasn't the quickening of the Spirit, there wasn't that holy anticipation, that joy when people came into church. And people were wondering, what has happened? And this continued for about 3 years. And then, afterwards, it was revealed that my former senior pastor was living in adultery. And when it came to the surface, well, he had to resign. But after his resignation, a new pastor took over, the church picked up again. Yes, even one member, willfully sinning, can block the progress of a church. Well, that's essentially what happened in the days of Joshua. And it was a very lamentable situation. And it's something that we have to understand in a very real sense. Now then, there's another situation that I want to look at with you. And it's also very important indeed. Here they have defeated Jericho. They've defeated Ai. And all the nations in this land of Canaan were afraid. There was a powerful nation called the Gibeonites. Their city was Gibeon. And they were very wily, very cunning. And they said, look, Jericho couldn't stand before them. The Jordan opened, the Red Sea opened, they destroyed, you know, the kings of Sion and Og on the other side of Jordan. You know, we're not going to stand against them. They said, why don't we exercise cunning and make an alliance with them? And so the whole city was in agreement, and they got the elders, and they dressed them in tattered garments, shoes that were broken, and they gave them moldy bread. And they sent them forth to meet Israel, meet the leaders of Israel. They came to the leaders. They came to Joshua and the elders, and they said, look, we are from a nation far away, not in the land of Canaan, but we want to make an alliance with you. Look at this bread. It was freshly baked when we started our journey. Look, it's moldy. Look at our shoes. They're worn out from the length of our journey. Look at our garments. Even our garments are tattered because of the length of our journey. Well, we're living a long way away. We want to make an alliance with you. And that, you know, we will be with you and you will be with us. Well, Joshua and the elders just looked at that bread and they looked at the garments, they looked at the shoes, and they said, oh, yes, we'll make an alliance with you. And so they made a pact with them that they would not destroy them. Wasn't a little bit later they found out the Gibeonites were the next city that they were supposed to destroy. And the people were furious with the leadership. They said, well, let us destroy them. He said, you can't. We've given our word. You know, one of the qualifications of holiness is that if we promise something and it's to our detriment, that we will not change our word. And Joshua said, we can't. And so they put these Gibeonites under, shall I say, a form of slavery, that they would bring the wood, cut down the wood, and bring the water to Israel. But, you know, why did they make that mistake? Well, you see, it was judging with the seeing of the eyes. It's a very interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 11, about verse 5, where, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, he will not judge after the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but he will judge righteously. And as leaders, you know, I have seen so many fail because they have made wrong alliances. And they've made these alliances simply because they did not inquire of the Lord. I've seen people, you know, leaders, you know, be influenced by people's words, almost flattery, by how much people are willing to give to the church, and they put them on the board. They do not inquire of the Lord. And so many churches have collapsed because of wrong alliances. You know, the Gibeonites, of course, were of the world. And one thing we must not make an alliance with is with the world. The Apostle Paul brings this out very strongly when he says, look, you cannot be unequally yoked. That's very important for marriage, isn't it? You cannot marry someone who's not a Christian who hasn't got the same vision. Oh, you're in for trouble. But also, it applies, you know, when you're in the upper echelons of a church, or when you're in business. How can you, you know, be yoked in business with an unbeliever? And I have known very wealthy men in my time. Very wealthy men. You know, who have wanted and sought to make other business ventures. And in so doing, they've had to make alliances with worldly people. And the result is they've had to compromise. They've had to compromise their own values. What is the result? Well, they compromise They compromise in business, and in actuality, it's compromising their heart, isn't it? Instead of being wholehearted, their heart is divided. And all the misery that people have when they make wrong alliances. And the reason for making wrong alliances is simply that we have not sought the Lord and inquired of the Lord. We've had many offers to do certain things, but the eldership has inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, oh no, if you're going that way, you're going to disaster, you're going to compromise. And in holiness, you do not compromise. Now, we want to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. And, Joshua learned a very serious lesson, didn't he? But that endured for all generations. And we've got to be very careful. As parents or elders, if we make alliances, those alliances can go through the generations. So we must be very careful indeed. Jehoshaphat made an alliance with King Ahab. His son married the daughter of Ahab. And the result was that the whole of the seed of Judah was corrupted and the nation of Judah was well nigh destroyed. So we end on this admonition. Don't make wrong alliances, but when you're going to make an alliance, inquire of the Lord, take counsel of him, and he will ensure that you are not unequally yoked and that his blessing can continue with you. God bless you.